The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Will Lucas, and this is Black Tech Green Money. Lockerverse is a Web3 platform that empowers creators and brands to tell culture-defining stories and deliver unique access and experiences. They're billed as the cultural hub for the future of the internet. Recently, co-founders Trey McDonald, Carlos McFaul, and Marcus Rance even partnered with Savannah James to launch the technology and amplify the platform. We're currently in a world where AI has taken over all technology conversations, but there's still some excitement in corners of the internet about Web3. With that, what particularly is still interesting about NFTs and crypto to Lockerverse?
People in our community typically get left behind when there are these big jumps in technology. And so for me, it's us having a seat at the table and really shaping that space. You know, I think anybody that calls himself an expert in the space currently, I think it's not matured enough. And so for us at Lockerverse, we were really excited about how do we infuse culture into the space? How do we do it in a responsible way and really focus on not only the creators, but also their fans and consumers?
Oh yeah, Trey touched on it, but you know, really important to us when we jumped in this was, you know, being from diverse backgrounds and being people who are oftentimes left behind in these cultural or technological revolutions is to really drive the space and really bring our culture to it and not just, you know, have a seat at the table, to actually build the table. And that's what we set out to do when we decided to make Lockerverse. We said, we wanted to make that platform. We wanted to make the highway and the bridge for our people to be at the center of this technological revolution. And so that's kind of what we're focused on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. And then there are still so many people who are, let's say, not sold about the value of particularly art NFTs. There's, I mean, obviously those among us are obviously so, but there's still so many people who are like, well, why would I buy this digital asset when I can invest that money into a physical asset? And my argument is like, look, you know, I have kids, and if you gave my kid, I show my kid a dollar versus a Robux, they would have a challenge deciding which one they want, right? And so, sure. We are living increasingly digital lives, And why would we not have things that show what we care about in this digital space? You know, talk about that if you could.
Yeah. And I think an important part there is your child is educated on both of those, right? The physical asset and the digital asset. And I think that's what's really missing from the space, right? If you go back and look at some old clips when there was the start of the internet, you know, people would make fun of us, like, why would you ever stream a baseball game? Have you heard a radio? Right. And so then it was just educating on, you know, what the internet can do. And I think this is just the next evolution of that. It's really the underlying blockchain technology that's important, not so much the tokens or crypto, but what the underlying technology can really do for fans, for creators. And we hope to continue to shape that.
Yeah, could you continue that? Because I want to talk, because when we talk about NFTs, traditionally, we're just talking about art. But NFTs, you know, it could be so many different types of NFTs. And so if you could talk about what matters to you guys when you talk about what the actual technology of the blockchain could do, when you talk about non-fungibility of a token.
Our thesis behind this is really about providing utility to people utilizing the NFT and utilizing the blockchain technology to actually deliver something of value to folks. And when you talk about, you know, your child looking at a digital asset and a dollar is kind of the same vein. I think it's really important to note, you know, people are spending more time than ever online. People's digital persona is as important now as their real world persona. And so when people talk about acquiring physical assets, that's great. You know, and we used to look at folks, I remember going to people's houses, they had all these DVDs or VHSs on the wall just taking up space. But then all of a sudden folks were, you know, having digital versions of that same content and then streaming the content. And so what we look at is we transition into this new world where your digital persona and your digital assets are extremely valuable. We want to be at the forefront of actually enabling that technology and bringing culturally significant projects to the table. And so, you know, where we feel that there's a big void is a lack of culture in the space. And so we wanted to empower these top tier creators who really do define the culture to bring their assets to life there, right? And that's what we think is going to shape the space if we have these cultural drivers all in one centralized platform who are able to reach their fans in new and meaningful ways and then give them access to physical experiences or give them access to exclusive merchandise and apparel or maybe content that is behind the scenes. You know, we think about folks like CJ Stroud and him giving access to his top fans in terms of the process he goes through when he's preparing for the NFL draft, or folks like Luis Arconriquez, one of the top drivers in music in the Latin entertainment space, him giving access to his fans to this behind the scenes content that you can't get anywhere else. And I think this blockchain technology is the perfect mechanism to bring that culture to life in a new way. And that's what we see NFTs as being kind of the ticket, the conduit to actually get folks some real value that they can't get in the real world.
I want to highlight what Lowe said about NFT being a conduit, right? So when we go out and talk to talent and try to acquire IP, you know, we say this is just another asset offering for your fans and consumers in a way that, hey, in the future, there will be a permanent digital record of what you provided to them. Right. And so Loesch laid out some use cases of utility. But once you explain that, hey, this isn't really no different from a T-shirt, from a hat, from the opportunity to stream with Bronny. This is something that you can create that will live permanently on the blockchain. They instantly get it. And I think that's why we've had a competitive advantage with acquiring some of the talent and IP that we have over the last year.
One piece to add to that is I think creators are really excited about the royalty aspect of their assets being sold on the blockchain. Because you look at, you know, folks like myself and Trey, we're rabid sneakerheads, right? But let's say we flip a pair of sneakers, the actual person behind that product isn't able to share in the royalty. And so we look at things like NFTs and blockchain technology as enabling those original creators to receive value for the products that they're putting out in the space. And so when we look at, you know, you acquire a CJ Stroud NFT, and that gives you access to exclusive content, experience, merchandise, apparel. When that NFT is sold, CJ Stroud gets to share in the upside and receive a royalty payment for that. But if you're looking at traditional assets, like let's just take that sneaker example, his sneaker got sold one time without being tied to the blockchain, no royalty payment there. And so when we look at empowering creators, especially diverse creators who are oftentimes not able to benefit from the fruits of their work, it's certainly not on a perpetual basis. We think this tool is the perfect mechanism to really create that empowerment.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you call it a wallet, but to me, it feels like a wallet that provides me, you know, access not only to my digital assets, but also the communities I belong to, not just the keys to those communities, but the communities are housed there also. So for the people who haven't experienced Lockerverse themselves yet, you know, describe what spending, you know, 30 minutes or an hour on the technology might be like.
Gotcha. Yeah. So at our core, we're a community platform, right? And so the idea is, as a fan, you come and join a community. And once you're in that community, you have the opportunity to either purchase a digital collectible from a particular talent or creator, but then also experience their traditional consumer product goods. What's really important for Lockerverse is we really want to meet folks where they are, right? And so, for example, we had an event at the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta, and we had a QR code up on the screen. We gave away the first ever ESPN digital collectible for a college football game. And what we found is where people started to interact with each other in the app, and then they would meet up in person at our activation. And so we found that to be really, really fruitful. And so if you go into our app, not only will you, you know, find your community and find your creators, but you may also have an opportunity to build relationships with people that you might not necessarily have the opportunity to unless you found that person in our communities.
When you consider things like the NIL, Carlos, when you think of things like the NIL, name, image, and likeness, and the opportunities athletes particularly have to be rewarded for their talents these days, how does your platform, let's say I'm a college student or a high school student, and I've got skills, right? I got some game. You know, talk about what is there for me on Lockerverse to be able to take advantage of, you know, my value in the marketplace.
Absolutely. So when we set out to build Lockerverse, we really thought about how we were going to empower these top tier creators. And as we define creators, that's athletes, that's entertainers, musicians, writers, anybody who's using their creative genius to better the world or empower themselves. And so when you think about, you know, a NIL player, these top tier athletes that are coming out of high school, they're now able to get paid. Some of them, state by state, getting paid at the high school level, they really need to engage their community of super fans. And there wasn't really a platform out there where that type of engagement could occur. So traditional social media doesn't really fit that mold. And the few platforms that engage in community building don't have the additional attributes of our platform. And that is the ability to disseminate content, the ability to mint and sell NFTs, the ability to sell merchandise and apparel, the ability to have your podcast all in that same place. And then again, with the NFTs and blockchain technology, that ability to really create a digital asset that ties you to real world experiences, this exclusive content, and really gives you as a super fan the ability to engage with that top tier creator that you're already a fan of. So what we set out to do was really capture these cultural driver NIL athletes. So, you know, having 6 McDonald's All-Americans in last year's class and 2 in this year's class, including Bronny James, and having on our platform their ability to connect directly with their community of super fans and then sell to those fans NFTs, give them exclusive merchandise and experiences, and then really empower each other behind what's so important at the end of the day is this ability to have community. And I think that's something everybody's yearning for. And we wanted to have that in a simplified, centralized fashion, all under the same umbrella. And that's what Lockerverse is.
Yeah, Trey, so when you think about these growing opportunities for fans to participate with athletes they love, teams they love, and et cetera, you know, things like sports betting is, you know, proliferating across the country. What are some of the things that major league organizations, the MLB, the NFL, NBA, have been plagued with over the past few years that makes them want to look at other ways to engage their fans?
Right. I mean, I think that's a great question. For us, you know, it's really how do we generate user-generated content, user-generated even communications. And so, for example, what we're doing with the Nipsey Project, we'll have cover album art by some of the premier artists that we're working with, but we're also going to allow the community to actually create their own user-generated art, right? And then we would take that and propel that into that particular project. So we're still tinkering with a few different ideas, but, you know, something that we learned at Celebration Bowl and something that ESPN was really excited about is that when we saw the engagement in the app during the game, they really liked that, right? Because now you had fans that were at the activation, at the game, communicating with each other, talking trash back and forth within our application. And so, you know, I think this technology lends itself for further fan engagement, but then also testing some of those things around sports betting and gaming.
Yeah, you mentioned Nipsey a couple of times here, and you've got assets inside your metaverse with unreleased tracks from people like Nipsey Hussle, you know, Pimp C, DJ Screw. How do you get stuff like that?
Yeah, I think all of this is just a vestige of really deep relationships with the folks behind a lot of that music, right? So one of our advisors to the company, is Mr. Lee, who produced Blue Laces 1 and 2 and produced some of the biggest hits for Pimp C, and came out of, you know, that Houston and Texas rap scene where he had big connections to folks like DJ Screw. And so because of all that, because of those relationships of trust and the significance of the platform and us just saying, hey, we want to not just have a seat at the table, but actually build the table and have people like us be at the forefront of this technology. That's something that was really exciting to someone like Mr. Lee, who's really been an innovator in the space, you know, all the way back to the days he was producing for folks like Tupac. And so he wants to be a cultural driver and bringing these significant projects to life, projects that we really consider sacred. And so I think our perspective on the space, I think our technology, and I think the way that we're going about saying, hey, we want people from our neighborhoods to be able to use this technology and connect to the top tier creators that they're already fans of in these new and significant ways. That was something that was just attractive. And so, you know, we couldn't be more fortunate to have partners like Mr. Lee helping us drive this in the space. But then you look at the other end of the spectrum with these, you know, I don't want to say emerging artists, but artists of a much younger generation. So highlighting folks like Chase B, who said, hey, I really want to be at the forefront of this space too. And some of the things I want to provide my fans is unique access to experiences using blockchain technology and NFTs, but I want to deliver to them some value, some significant value. And so, you know, you think of people who want to record with the same folks who are having music produced for Travis Scott, and Chase is saying, hey, I'm going to give my super fans a beat pack and let those folks record on it and give them an opportunity to get what they never could have access to just because it's probably impossible to be able to afford or just get connected to someone like Chase. But because he understands the value of what this technology is and wants to provide real value to his super fans, he's utilizing blockchain technology and the Lockerverse platform to deliver those experiences and give those super fans and these new creators an opportunity to record over beats produced by him that you otherwise wouldn't have access to. Yeah.
And if I can add to that briefly, it's such a new space that I think we were able to secure some of those relationships because of our past as sports entertainment attorneys, right? Understanding IP. And a lot of times when you enter into a new space and technology, the underlying law is the same. It's really just new terminology. And so once we were able to master that terminology, we could take our legal background, and that allowed creators to really trust us, right? That we would do it the right way. We would be intentional. And we try to, you know, not provide any lift on the talent, right? Because in our former life, we understood, you know, the demands of their main thing, which was music, sport, or art. And so we kind of taken that experience, combined it with the technology, and that's helped us be competitive.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's expand on the concept of ownership in a world where assets have typically been leveraged for the greater benefit of platforms versus the artists, the league versus the athletes. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about what blockchain technologies allow for artists to retain stake in their work, but the reason they gave up so much was there was a faster upside in name recognition, fame, what have you. And co-founders speak on it.
I think one, just the society is just more educated on ownership and what that means, right? You know, you hear it's buzzwords in barbershops, you know, masters owning this. And so there's just a common understanding now that, hey, I should probably, you know, read the fine print a little bit more than maybe over a decade ago. And I think that's one aspect of it. But then the second aspect is that the technology allows creators, right, to really explore areas where maybe a big brand would say, hey, we want to put you in this particular box. I think a really good example of that is Bronny. You know, the project with Bronny will not focus on him being a basketball player, more so for his love of gaming, his love of being a snowboarder. So that's what really excited him in Savannah. And it's the same with some of the artists that we're working with on the Nipsey EP project. You know, how can we, you know, bring his legacy through the art, but let me try different type of style that I wouldn't normally do, right? Because I know the underlying technology is efficient. We can do it in a really cost-effective manner and allow the creator to grow as well. So that's the part that I think is the most fascinating, not just the ownership, but really pushing the bounds of creativity and not having to rely on a brand to provide budget or provide the space for you to create.
And it's really putting the power back in the hands of the creator. You know, so many times with these traditional platforms, you've got creators providing all of the value and the platform themselves or the traditional brands behind them receiving all the benefit. You know, this tooling essentially enables folks to flip that model on its head and say, I'm the creator, I'm the one whose genius, whose time, whose work ethic, whose lack of sleep has gone into creating this product that my super fans want to be a part of. And instead of the platform themselves or the brand being the one that receives all the benefits, those individual creators are able to take back some ownership in that. And I think that's something that's something Trey and I talk about every morning when we have our one-on-one meeting is how do we ensure that we're giving more value to the creator, empowering them with tools, with access, with with an ability to connect with that community of super fans. And I think if we continue to stay laser focused on that empowerment of creator piece, we're going to find tremendous success and enable these creators to continue to find tremendous success.
Yeah, let's go a level deeper, because we think about the concept we just talked about, record labels selecting who's going to be the rising star, or social media platforms determining who's going to get access to the feed. You know, how does, like, how do you think about who you decide to partner with from a brand ambassadorship? It's one thing for me to sign up for an account and put my assets up, but how does Lockerverse think about, we want to partner with these athletes, these specific ones? How do you make that analysis internally of who you want to wear the Lockerverse, you know, franchise?
Yeah, for us, the first thing we look at is, do they have an interest outside of what they're known for, right? You know, and then the second thing, what story do they want to tell? And how does that story align with our thesis and our ethos, which is cultural defining stories, right? So when you look, you know, hey, you signed Bronny James, obviously that's awesome, but we also signed Morehouse College. Right, and what story do they want to tell? How does Morehouse look going into the metaverse and going into the future? And so what we try to look at is, we call it franchisable IP, and say, hey, you know, how can this impact so many different people regardless of where they are? And then what story are we trying to tell? And I think we've done a great job of identifying that talent early on. We didn't go out and just say, hey, let's go with the individuals that have the biggest names or the biggest followings. And I know we've mentioned quite a few of those folks, but if I can, I'd mention Bianca Pestel, who's a Hebrew Brantley protege. She's under 10,000 followers on Instagram, but she consistently is talking about, you know, the story that she wants to bring to life of you know, her characters, right? And being Black in Chicago and that art. And so we thought, hey, let's partner with her. She has a lot of interesting views that we can't wait to share. And I'll save that for the project. But we, you know, we really kind of dig under the rock and see what we can find.
You know, what I love about what you're doing is, it's like it's a real startup. And like, when you think about what you could build versus what you could partner with other people to build and plug in, you know, even from like on the merch side, you know, there's a Shopify partnership. And so I think about, you could have built your own e-commerce platform, but you know, speed matters, you know, these days, and focusing on what actually matters is more important than things that are, you know, add-ons or, you know, amenities or such a thing. But can you talk about why you decided to be such an ambassador of partnerships versus believing you got to do everything on your own in the beginning? Like, so many of us make that error.
I would say I think a lot of us make that mistake because they don't even know where to start to form a relationship with a partner, right? And a lot of times those partners are not receptive to Black-led tech companies, right? So, but you know, I think we had a competitive advantage with some of the names, and so those calls were easier. And I think we should acknowledge that privilege. And so for us, you know, we would go out, seek those partnerships, but we'd also drive and say, hey, we're going to be responsible for creative. We're going to bring you the stories, and we're going to tell it our way. And they were receptive to that because we were very protective of our talent and IP. But you're absolutely right. Speed matters. You know, we started this essentially right when the NFT crash was happening. But it allowed us to move slowly and be intentional and seek out the right partners as well. And you know, we're excited to partner with who we have. But I'll turn over to Los to kind of share more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a really significant jump for Trey and myself to leave an actual partnership, right? Where you know, we're at a law firm. It's been around for 150 years, and it finally reached that point where we had corner offices and said, hey, telling our wives and our young families, we're about to do something different. And if we were going to make that move, we weren't going to just do it to just throw out some NFT projects. We said, there's an opportunity in this space for creators and our people to be at the center of the technological revolution. And we felt uniquely suited to actually be the ones driving it. Nice. So we wanted to aim big, and we wanted to build the platform that was actually going to be the bridge to that. And so we knew if we were going to really serve as this bridge, we had to find the right partners that were already in Web3 and find the ones that were already in Web2 and say, hey, do you believe in our mission? Do you believe what we're trying to do? And do you believe it's important? And if you share that ethos, and if you're trying to reach that promised land with us, get on board, right? Come on into the Lockerverse. And so we really believed in our journey. We really believed in what we were trying to do. And we were very intentional about finding the right partners who were going to believe in us and help propel that. And so, you know, we're really thankful for folks like the Disney Accelerator for saying, hey, locker versus what y'all are trying to do is significant. Is it? It's in line with what Disney's trying to do with realizing the significance of their IP products, like what they did with Black Panther and Coco and other significant IP in their ecosystem. But when you think about the fandom that exists around those projects, how do you get people like that to go back to Disney Parks or go back to ESPN Celebration Bowl? And what we saw was, hey, this technology that we are building, this platform that we are building, can really be the bridge between things like that. And so when we had the opportunity to work with folks like ESPN to deliver the first ever digital collectible and then bring folks directly onto our platform and have them be a part of this Web3 experience in a way that has never happened before, we just said this couldn't be a better opportunity. But for us, it's really about partnering with the right folks and understanding that we need partners that understand our mission and believe in it and are trying to help us get there together.
Yeah, let's dig in there, because, you know, what are some of the things that are the most important things you've learned about getting the attention of would-be high-profile investors and partners? You know, you've got people like, you know, NFL agent David Mulugeta, like Brandon Brown of the Giants, and, you know, investors from CAA. Like, and here's why I ask is there's so many projects, startups founded by people listening to this podcast who would benefit and or need profile. They need high profile. And what are some of the key things you've learned about getting those relationships and managing those relationships well to where those people even take the time to listen?
Yeah, I think to start, it's really about listening to them, right, and seeing what's going on in their space and their orbit and finding a way to create a common thread by what you're building. And I think early on we didn't do a good enough job of educating some of those folks just about the space. Right. But then we took a step back and say, you know, Dave, you know, what are some of your players concerned with? You know, what are they focused on? What do they want to do? And then we would listen to those answers and then plug that into what we were trying to build. And then we would go back and explain it. And, you know, Dave always says, I don't invest in companies. I invest in people. So a lot of it is also just being there, being consistent, not always needing something or asking for something, but just being present and providing, guidance when it's needed. And again, you know, we were attorneys for a decade, right? And so there was some privilege there that some of those folks would call us for solutions to problems. And so if you have that advantage, if you think you can provide that, don't be afraid to stand on that, because it will help build the relationship.
You know, I'm curious about, you know, the structure of the company, and especially when you have co-founders, you know, identifying roles. And so you're not stepping on each other's toes. And so you leaning into what each other is good at. How did you determine what your duties would be as you guys go out there and beat the pavement to build something special so that, you know, Trey doesn't feel like Carlos is in the way and Carlos is looking at Trey like, yeah, are you on your job? I'm on my job. I want to make sure we all are on our job. Like, how do you determine that?
Yeah, a couple of things I'll add, you know, is like I said, we were partners at a law firm and had tried some, you know, very significant cases together, built a practice together where we were servicing clients in significant ways. If I had to be in California for a deposition and Trey had to be in a hearing in Houston, we were able to deliver value kind of across the country in unique ways. And so how we really came up with that model was just saying, hey, this is my brother and I trust him and I know nobody's going to be able to deliver the value that I can in a way that Trey may be perfectly suited to handle this unique situation. And so instead of us being those people who were close to the vest with our clients and not trying to let each other in, we were always ones that said, hey, I can expand my practice. I can be a more significant lawyer. I can deliver more value to my client if I partner with you and work with you. And so when we decided to start the company, we kind of approached it with that same ethos. It's, Trey can do things in rooms that I can never imagine doing. And I like to think there's certain things that I can do that Trey would view as being significant as well. And so when we said, let's build out Lockerverse, it was all about let's find a way to achieve our goal. And if you got to play quarterback today and I got to play running back or get in the trenches and block for you, that's what I'm going to do. And Trey approached it with the same way. And our third co-founder, Marcus Rance, was actually a teammate of mine at Stanford. Approached it the same way, you know, and we really just looked at the situation and said, who's going to be the best one to be the one speaking in this situation, or who's going to be the best one to actually draft up the documents or establish and strengthen that relationship with particular talent. And that's how we approach it every day. We're not about titles. We're really just about achieving a common goal. And we get very strategic and in-depth and try to approach everything without ego. And I think because of that, it's enabled us to go much faster and avoid a lot of the pitfalls that other folks see in the space because they're so centered on a particular title or having the right office space. You know, we're not about that. We're about actually delivering a product of value and delivering a service at the end of the day that's going to set ourselves and set our creators apart.
Yeah, and I think it started before we founded the company. It started with just our relationship, not only in the practice, but also at Stanford as well, right? I didn't know our the co-founder Marcus at Stanford, but as soon as Lo said, hey, this is the guy, there was no question, right? So it's about trusting your team. And then also when ego does creep in those moments, you have to check it yourself and then ask your co-founders and your team, hey, I think I'm right on this, but everybody else is saying I'm not. Let me know if you think my ego is getting in the way. And we've had those tough conversations and candid conversations. You know, it's by design that we don't have titles on our site. We don't have titles in our bios. It's co-founder. You know, we really are a team. And even, you know, we'll go down to the minute detail. Hey, this investor is lead. Who has the best relationship? Who feels the most comfortable? You take lead on the meeting. So everyone should be prepared to play all roles at all times. And it's worked out for us today.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia, and is produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen and Rose McLucas. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Vanessa Serrano. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at Afrotech.com. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Share this with somebody. Go get your money. Peace and love.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love, in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.